Chapter 16, Old Testament Verses Misused. The most popular Old Testament text in New Social Gospel teaching is Isaiah 58. In this chapter, the prophet derides Israel for its negligence of the poor in its midst. Isaiah exposes the religious hypocrisy of the nation by showing its dedication to fasting, feast days, and external religious trappings, while disregarding God's law relative to the poor in their midst. Some argue from this chapter that justice is defined as ministering to the poor. Consequently, if we focus on serving the poor, then we are doing justice and being just. If we are not dedicated to that, then it is questionable if we are just at all, or even justified by faith. This is a half-truth. It is certainly right to minister to the poor and wrong to ignore them when they are in our midst. The wrong half has to do with the biblical definition of justice. In the entire Bible, moralistic terms always have the moral law as their reference point. These include justice, sin, righteousness, evil, good works, etc. Human efforts, however well-intentioned, are not good, just, or righteous, unless they correspond to God's standards. At the beginning of Isaiah 58, the prophet refers to Israel as a lawbreaker. "They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right, and has not forsaken the commands of its God." Isaiah 58:2. In the rest of the chapter, Isaiah elaborates on what commandments they had forsaken. Negligence of the poor. Helping the poor in their midst was part of the Mosaic law. Isaiah is rebuking the Jews of his time for covering up their disregard of the law through other religious observances. Like all Old Testament prophets, Isaiah was bound to the limits of the law. His role was to rebuke the nation for its lawbreaking, of which one command was to care for the poor in its midst. The moral principle here is certainly valid for Christians today. We are as guilty as the Jews in the days of Isaiah if we cover up a disregard for God's commands through our Christian observances. New social gospel teachers are perfectly correct in rebuking us if they see us neglecting the poor among our fellow Christians. Unfortunately, they go beyond that by disregarding certain points. Neither Isaiah's exhortation nor its antecedent in the law contains any mandate to feed the poor outside of Israel. The new social gospel assumes the church in this dispensation inherits the blessings and curses of Israel. If this is not a hidden assumption, then their exhortations based on Isaiah 58 become meaningless. Though the Bible clearly says the church is the Israel of God, the degree to which the church inherits Israel's blessings and curses is a delicate question among theologians. So, if the new social gospel wishes to apply Isaiah 58 to the church, then it would follow that the church is to care for poor believers in its midst only. Therefore, ministering to the poor believers is something the church must do. Helping the poor of the community outside the church is something it may do, but it is no mandate. Isaiah 58 lends no support to the new social gospel contentions. Jeremiah 29:7. "Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Jeremiah 29:7. This verse is used to support the new social gospel strategy for evangelism. If the churches dedicate themselves to blessing the city through mercy ministry, the church itself will prosper. Jeremiah was addressing captives in Babylon. Like a typical Hebrew prophet, he was expounding what the law already said. God warned Israel that exile would be one of the punishments inflicted for disobedience. During that exile, God would bless them and remember His covenant with them. Leviticus 26:44-45. What this has to do with a Christian fight for social justice? a supposed balance in the gospel or alleviation of world poverty is a bit hard to see. Even harder to see is why an exhortation from the law of Moses, designed to rub the nose of Israel into the consequences of their disobedience, is relevant to the Christian church. It is good to exhort churches to seek the prosperity of their city and bless it in every way. It becomes dubious when we forget how Jesus said to go about it in the Great Commission. The final blow. The coup de grâce to the new social gospel theology is the concept of covenant. This is the backbone of the whole Bible. God's relationship with man in both testaments is based on covenant, an agreement between God and his people. The word covenant occurs 264 times in the Old Testament and 33 times in the New. It is linked inseparably with God's faithfulness to his promises, which explains why the terms covenant and promise occur together in the same verse 14 times throughout the New Testament. God is clearly a God of covenants. In the Old Testament, the God of the covenant people promised to supply their needs. He did so when they were obedient. Deuteronomy 28. In the New Testament, the covenant God promises to supply all the needs of believers, spiritually and physically. He does so when they are obedient. Philippians 4:19. Not a lot of difference there, except a Savior shed his blood to confirm the covenant promises for his people and for those only. Galatians chapters 3 and 4 and the entire book of Hebrews. One glaring characteristic exists in common between the covenants in both testaments. Exclusivity. No injunction in the law of Moses existed for feeding Philistines. The law was emphatic about how to care for the poor in Israel. The Pentateuch gives instructions for a year of jubilee for canceling debts among them. The same with the Israel of God today, the church. The promises of God in the new covenant are for the people of God, those who have placed their trust in Christ. That is why no mandate on the church is found in the New Testament to feed humanity, fight social justice causes, or create an equitable society before Jesus comes. We are free to do these if we wish. We are not free to imply they are mandates or part of the Great Commission, nor is our spirituality measurable by them. The exclusivity principle renders these proof texts irrelevant as support for the new social gospel. Between this and the principle that revelation is progressive, the movement crumbles. Understanding these errors need not lead to a compassionless spirit. The image of God in man remains, regardless of any other factor. We must preach the Word of God to humanity. We may feed them if we can, as long as it does not jeopardize our own people by depleting resources necessary to complete our mission. Therefore, it is unbiblical to teach that a balance between evangelism and social justice must exist for the gospel to be whole or authentic. It is unbiblical to teach that the mission of the church is to alleviate poverty in the community or the world. It is unbiblical to teach that service to the poor is an indispensable part of the gospel. It is unbiblical to teach that genuine faith in Christ will result in a life of service to the poor. It is unbiblical to teach that the kingdom of God consists in a just and equitable society, in whole or in part, before the return of Christ. It is unbiblical to teach it is a part of the mission of the church to participate with God in the restoration of the physical creation. It is unbiblical to confuse Christian charity with social justice. It is unbiblical to declare it is a mandate on Christians to participate in social justice causes. It is unbiblical to use parables of Jesus to teach that all Christians must dedicate themselves to the service of the poor. It is unbiblical to interpret Old Testament prophecies such as Isaiah 58, Jeremiah 29, or from the Mosaic Law to impose a mandate on the church to alleviate poverty in the community or the world. It is unbiblical to imply that economic disparity between individuals or nations is de facto proof of injustice. It is unbiblical to declare that Christians owe a debt to the poor they must pay through mercy ministry, without which they themselves are unjust. From this chapter we learn, the movement frequently misuses Old Testament texts like Isaiah 58 and Jeremiah 29. The proponents ignore the exclusivity principle in the scope of these texts and apply them for the pursuit of social justice in the society today. At first, the new social gospel theological system looms large and imposing. The exclusivity principle in the covenants exposes the entire system to be paltry to the point of silly. The movement abuses the Word of God at important junctures in biblical theology.